Question of the day, is it healthy for children to be thrown into acting? Talking about young children that act full-time for a living, the shows that we watch on Disney, the shows that we watch on Nickelodeon. Have we considered the psychological effects of child acting? Plus, later on, get excited, guys, segregation is back. It's better than ever, guys, because you can just pick to segregate yourself. Yep, the author of White Fragility says that Black people should just stay away from white people. And Grand Valley State University is holding 5 separate segregated graduation ceremonies, which includes LGBT, Hispanic, Black, Native American, and Lavender people. Mm-hmm. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. All right, so if you listen to this show, you know that I am the Karenest Karen that ever Karened. Why? Because the left hijacked the term Karen so that they could act like animals and no one would say anything. What used to have a real meaning is now the left behaving very poorly in society and going, if you say something about what I'm doing, it's because you're a Karen. If I steal this bicycle and you say something and you see it, you're a Karen. If you tell anybody, if you call the police or if you call over a TSA agent because I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be, I am the person that will call. I am a proud Karen. And ladies and gentlemen, you can join my armies. We're going right up against the Sweet Baby Gang. Candace is Karens. I knew it. I knew we'd find something. And I just feel like we can really get under the Sweet Baby Gang skin of Matt Walsh and his tribe of really bad people. So pre-order your proud Karen crew neck at yesbecandace.com. Do not stay quiet when you know something is wrong. If you see something, say something. Go to yesbecandace.com to get your proud Karen crew neck today. Okay, so personally, I have always been against child acting, and I want to be clear on what I mean when I say that, because I am not saying that if you were a child actor, you're a terrible person, or that you shouldn't have been a child actor, or that there should be laws against children acting. What I'm saying is that within my own personal capacity, I would never allow my children to become actors, and I would caution them even against joining drama. I'm not kidding. That might sound so bizarre to you, but I'm going to be very clear about why I feel that way. I believe that acting, the best actors, right, what they are good at is mentally destabilizing themselves, right? It is an act of mental destabilization to convince yourself that you are somebody else and to be so good at it that they say, wow, I totally believed you as a character. It's a wonderful craft. It takes a tremendous amount of talent. But I've always thought it was very bizarre when people aspire for their children to become individuals that have to mentally destabilize themselves day in and day out. And I can tell you just this, in my personal capacity, right? I deliver a show every day. I am not an actor. But 5 days a week, I have to get up here and I have to be able to speak to you irrespective of what's going on in my personal life. So let's say, I'll give it back to a couple of years ago when my grandfather died. It was tremendously, a very difficult time for me when he was sick. It was a difficult time for me, to watch him in that capacity, but it did not change my commitments at work, right? So you might obviously go to work every single day. Maybe you work a 9-to-5 job and you don't have to get up and deliver a show. But if you are not having a great day, you can kind of sit behind your desk and you can be relaxed. Not me. Right, I have to not be upset. I cannot be crying. I need to be able to deliver a show. And that takes a lot sometimes. Sometimes I think I don't really want to do this. And then when I finish the show, I will go home. What I always do is for 30 minutes, I will just sit by myself in silence. I call this just like bringing yourself down from the emotions of even the topics you discuss, right? I get fired up talking to you about trans issues. I get really fired up about talking to you about things that are going on in the classrooms. I get fired up talking about politics, period. Well, doing that for an hour a day, right, means that my emotions are being manipulated for an hour a day. And it requires me as an adult who's able to deal with that to say, how do you come down from this? And for me, it's sitting in silence for 30 minutes, typically in the sun. But a child, think about a child like Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, the list of actors that have gone on to have full-on mental breaks, right? Child actors, Macaulay Culkin, I've got a list here, Jodie Sweetin, Todd Bridges, Corey Feldman, Haley Joel Osment, Amanda Bynes, we're going to talk about her soon, Raven Simone, the list goes on and on and on, Britney Spears, of people that were forced to perform when they were children and who grew up and had residual issues, who still, many of them, have residual issues, because I think it is unnatural to manipulate your emotions day in and day out, especially when your brain is still developing, especially. Now, I say this from also personal experience, because I had friends that were in the drama club and a lot of them dealt with depression. You will find this, by the way, with comedians, people that get up and deliver a show and have to pretend to be happy for hours on end tend to suffer from depression. And you go, how could that be? You're a comedian. You make people laugh. You make people laugh. I don't understand how a comedian could ever be upset. Well, it's because they're forcing themselves into a very dramatic emotion day in and day out. And you can imagine what that does to someone who's on Broadway every single night, what that is like for somebody who has to do that to make a living. And so I'm opposed to it. Now, I'm not saying, again, that you shouldn't do it. I'm just personally opposed to it. And it is the reason why my heart absolutely breaks for Amanda Bynes. I enjoy child actresses, especially when you're young and you are watching them and you are observing them. It's content that is quite literally for people while they are young, right? You go, oh my gosh, I love her. I absolutely loved Amanda Bynes growing up. Yesterday, it was reported that she's been placed on a psychiatric hold after she was found roaming the streets naked and alone. She was seen walking near downtown Los Angeles early Sunday morning without any clothes on, waved a car down, and then she told the driver that she was coming down from a psychotic episode. She then herself called 911. She was taken to a nearby police station where a mental health team determined that she needed to be placed on a psych hold. And like I said, this absolutely breaks my heart. And I feel that I have this heartbreak over and over and over again, looking at the people that I admired when I was young, growing up and not being able to deal with people. Think it's elements of fame, and I'm sure that's a small piece of it, but Amanda Bynes is not a big name anymore. Amanda Bynes is not somebody that's having to deal with mean comments on the internet or people that are constantly reporting on her and her behavior. I believe that her, along with a lot of them, are suffering from something else, and it is that their brains were not allowed to develop correctly. I believe that their brains developed the wrong pathways when they were young because they were forced to develop emotions that they didn't feel. They were forced to convince themselves that they were somebody that they weren't. Amanda Bynes, to me, is a particularly interesting case because she quite literally, throughout a lot of her career, played somebody who was schizophrenic. She was forced to not just pretend to be one person, but to pretend to be two people often. Let me remind you, when she made her debut, she had the big break on a show called All That that I loved when I was a child. And she did this wonderful, hilarious skit called Ask Ashley, where people would write in, and she must have been 6 or 7 years old, and they would ask her really stupid questions. She would read the letter and be really happy when she read it. And then she would be screaming within seconds at the person, telling them how stupid they were for asking the question. Take a look back at one of those scenes.
Dear Ashley, I'm barefoot, completely barefoot. Whenever I go outside, I cut my bare feet on rocks and glass and stuff. Gosh, do I hate being barefoot. What should I do? Tracy, I'm gonna tell you what to do. Wear some stinking shoes! Shoes, sweetheart!
Again, an absolutely hilarious skit, but could you imagine doing that day in and day out as a child with a young developing brain? As she grew up, she continued to play somebody with split personalities. You might remember another movie that she did called She's the Man. She also played two different characters, one disguised as a guy and the other one disguised as a girl. Wonderful film, something that people really liked. But imagine what that is doing to somebody who is young having to play these roles. She also had the Amanda Bynes show, which was a live action sketch comedy where she played a variety of different individuals night in and night out. She played a woman named Penelope Taint, Judge Trudy, Blinny Blokey, Amber, Doreen, Cynthia Worthington, Moody, Crazy Courtney, Candy Tulips, Katie Klutz, Lula May, Cindy Extreme, Sharon, Melody, Mother Caboose, Babs, Wrestleberg, and the People Place owner. Imagine you, an entire show being centered around you playing a bunch of different characters all in one show, and you are a child. I'm opening up this conversation because I like to think that we can look at culture and we can learn things and we can have meaningful discussions. And I think this is one of them. This is one of those things where people look and you say, well, Candace, you're not a doctor. You can't possibly know. You're not a psychiatrist. You're not a psychologist. You don't understand the human brain. Yeah, well, I do have a thinking brain. And a lot of this stuff to me is just common sense. thrusting children not only into the spotlight, which is one thing to deal with, but thrusting them into acting, which is quite literally the sport of mental destabilization. And I say that, by the way, affectionately, the best actors are able to completely destabilize themselves from their true selves, right? They're convincing. We love them. We love to see it as an art. But should children be engaging in this? What are the long-term effects? What really happened to Amanda Bynes is not just a girl who had a totally normal life and then suffered from something out of nowhere when she was an adult. I think she was a girl that forced her brain to go through various traumas every day in order to become more successful at what she did. And so I wanted to bring that topic to the public discussion and to also say that you should pray for her. Honestly, genuinely, I had so many great moments from my childhood. I absolutely loved her. And it's not something to be mocked. It is something that is tremendously sad. And we are all wishing her well on this show. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your bag at the airport without a lock. You think yourself is safe, but how do you know for sure that no one is going through your personal items? When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers, ISPs, can see every single website that you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use it to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, your identity becomes anonymized by a secure VPN server so that ISPs cannot see your online activity. Your data is encrypted for maximum protection. I love ExpressVPN because it's so easy to use. You just fire up the app and you click one button. Plus, it works on all of my devices, my phone, my laptop, even my Wi-Fi router. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Candace today. That's expressvpn.com/Candace, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Candace. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Remembers the Tuskegee experiment? I certainly do. I'm a Black American. It's required that I remember a little bit about Black American history. And I laugh at people who think, hey, you're not educated. You need to listen to the CDC. Oh, you mean the same CDC that experimented on Black Americans for 40 years, watched Black men die, lied, right? Actually went down and found a group of 400 Black individuals and told them that they were going to treat them for bad blood. This is the CDC, so imagine this happening. A public health initiative. When in reality, what they were doing was treating them to some syphilis. They wanted to just observe Black people dying of syphilis. They began this study, and then they discovered how to cure syphilis. They didn't care. They didn't tell these subjects because, well, they wanted to see what would happen at the tail end of syphilis. So imagine believing that your government is trying to cure you and make you better and treat you for bad blood and ailments when in reality, they're experimenting on you. And of course, there is still some conflict. Black Americans that say that actually the government gave these Black Americans syphilis. The government says, oh no, they had already had it. I don't know what's real. I definitely don't trust the CDC, which is one of the many reasons that I don't trust Dr. Fauci. And you're not going to believe this. You're going to get Tuskegee vibes. He actually decided in some initiative to go door to door in black neighborhoods and to encourage Black people once again to trust the science, to trust the government, because obviously when they're knocking on your door and offering you money so that you roll up your sleeve and let them inject you, you shouldn't think that there's anything suspect. Well, guess what? These Black Americans did. Take a listen to this guy who receives a knock from Dr. Fauci.
And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious than the flu.
Though. Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
Amen. There is so clearly something else going on with that. And this must have startled Dr. Fauci because black people are supposed to be the dumbest in American society. Why can't you just knock on doors and sell them a vax and have them roll up their sleeves and offer them a little bit of cash? Well, maybe because people operate on common sense and this feels wrong. This seems very bizarre that you'd be knocking on doors wanting these men to do this, wanting these women to do this. And it's extraordinary that Dr. Fauci is trying to encourage him not to believe his own eyes and his own ears, because obviously, oh, trust me, everybody's dying, except we don't know, obviously, enough people that are dying. That's the whole point, right? It's been years of COVID. If we all know people that have gotten COVID and have keep surviving COVID, I had it twice while I was pregnant with my daughter, okay? Twice while I was pregnant and I survived it. You're not going to be able to convince these people that it's so deadly that they need to just trust this immediate vaccine roll up and roll up their sleeves. In fact, what's more likely is they, like me, know a lot of people that suffered consequences after getting this vaccine. So again, common sense is trumping a knock on the door from Dr. Fauci. Take a listen to what happens when he rolls up on another black person, a young woman with kids, and encourages her to get the shot.
Oh, I'm not having time yet. I'm waiting for them to be able to.
Oh, you should get it first. Okay, that way you won't give it to them.
Oh, I thought I would give it to them if I get it.
No, not at all. In fact, we got to get you vaccinated so that if you were to get infected, you could pass it on to them. So you're actually protecting your family by getting it vaccinated.
Well, I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
No. So on the very, very, very rare chance that you do get it, even if you're vaccinated, you don't even feel sick.
How is it that this man has not yet been prosecuted? He just literally knocked on the door like the drug dealer that he is and told lies. Those are two verifiable lies. He said, oh, well, if you get this shot, you're going to protect your kids. That isn't true. That is a lie. We know that if you get COVID, even if you have become vaccinated, if you got two vaccines, three vaccines, four vaccines, you can still spread the virus. He lied to her to try to get her to take a drug. And she says, well, I heard that's not true. I heard that I could still get COVID. And then he tells her another extraordinary lie. He says that if you get the vaccine, when you get COVID, it's not going to be that bad. Again, another lie. We know that there have been people that have gotten the vaccine, have gotten COVID, and have had terrible bouts with it. People that have said, people in my family who said, when I wasn't vaccinated and I got COVID the first time, I was absolutely fine. The second time when I got the vaccine, I was so sick. A demonstrable lie, and there is absolutely no consequence because he's Dr. Fauci. So again, this person turned down his vaccine. They didn't buy his BS, but it is incredible that you have people that are receiving our tax dollars going door to door and lying on camera without consequence. Let's jump into this second story because there is something so implicitly, by the way, racist about this. I saw this other story that popped up and I thought, isn't this incredible? Do you remember a few weeks ago when we covered Scott Adams? He's the creator of the Dilbert cartoon series. And he essentially was responding to a poll in which 50%, approximately 50% of black people did not agree that it was okay for people to be white. A stunning poll. A shocking poll. Imagine being a white person and reading that 50% of a group of individuals do not believe that it's okay for you to be what you are, white. And so in responding to this poll, he said accurately that this represents a hate group. If I read a poll that said 50% of white people do not think it's okay for you to be black, I would say we have a hate group operating in this country. And then he gave his viewers some advice. He said, if you are a white person, you need to move away from black people. Obviously, it is not safe for you to be living among people, and it's a coin toss as to whether or not these people believe that you have a right to exist, that it's okay, rather, for you to exist. And there was outrage. Dilbert got dropped by Gannett Publishers. Essentially, they wanted him canceled. Oh my God, he's a white supremacist. Well, guess what? Someone essentially said the exact same thing that he said, but in reverse, and there's no outrage. A woman who wrote White Fragility, the author's name is Robin DiAngelo, sounded exactly like Scott Adams in a racial justice webinar by suggesting that black people need to just, well, get away from white people. Take a listen.
And then I'm a big believer in affinity space and affinity work. And I think people of color need to get away from white people and have some community with each other. And I'll let that go and maybe see if anyone else wants to pick it up.
She's talking to two black women and saying this, and there's no outrage because somehow if you repackage segregation and you make people think that it's a form of black empowerment and you make yourself sound like you're just white guilty, then people are okay with it. She's basically, I just think what you guys need is to live in a community all by yourself. Jim Crow called, he wants his laws back, but this time it's empowering because I'm just saying you need to get away from us. We are the problem. If only the government had pitched Jim Crow like that, right? Made it sound fluffy. Actually, you know, we feel that as white people, we have wronged you so much that we are going to put ourselves in a community so that you can be safe. You think that we'd still have Jim Crow laws today? Probably, maybe. And somehow black people don't understand that that's exactly what it is. This is repackaging segregation laws. No outrage. She is Scott Adams. You know what there is also no outrage about that's been going on for years, and it just seems like they keep upping the ante on crazy? Segregated graduations. You are not going to believe this. Grand Valley State University is holding 5 segregated graduation celebrations. 5 of them. Here are the various graduation ceremonies that you can attend if you are a student there. They will be having the Asian graduation celebration. They will be having, of course, the Black graduation celebration on a different date. They will be having the Latino, Latina, Latinx graduation celebration, which will also take place at a different date and a different time if you'd like to attend that. They will also be having the Lavender graduation, in case you're wondering what that is. Wow, are there lavender people in society? No. That's for the rainbow people, the alphabet soup community, the LGBTQIA+, don't know why you don't just put all 26 letters there, community, can attend the Lavender graduation so they can feel like special snowflakes. And if you still don't find a category that fits you, don't worry, there is also a Native graduation celebration. I'd like to see how many students will be attending that. I'd like to see how many Native Americans will be attending that. So essentially, again, the Laker graduates have an opportunity to segregate themselves. That's it. Segregation is back, baby, and it's better than ever because we don't have to do the work for you. You can segregate yourselves, okay? So we'll have all these opportunities. It's still going to say black, white, in Spanish, Lavender, and then you guys are just going to sort yourselves like you're at the Container Store. Just put yourselves into different little sections and everything's going to be fine. And it's stunning to me that this is what is going on at the very same time that people accuse everything of being racist. They see racism everywhere except exactly where it is, operating institutionally, where it's always operated institutionally, by the way. Don't forget, it was the academia that came up with Jim Crow laws. It was the academia that came up with arguments for eugenics. These are the same people that created all of the racial strife in American history that are again repurposing it and selling it to people. It's unbelievable. Now, I mentioned the Container Store. I love the Container Store. I'll remind you guys all that I had the most beautiful pantry in America. I put it on my Instagram. It's very important for you to know that my pantry is hotter than your pantry. I showed people how I organized it. Sadly, it took me almost 2 months. Here it is. If you're listening to this podcast, you can find it on YouTube. It took me essentially 2 months. I sacrificed my time to organize this pantry, my refrigerator, and every single closet in the house. And if you're wondering why I did that, it was because I just wanted everything to be organized. I felt empowering. Incredibly, I'm not kidding, it took me about 18,000 steps a day to do this. Went back and forth to the Container Store repeatedly, had to take everything out to see what I had. Very proud of myself. And it was not a humble brag. It was just a full-on brag on Instagram. Well, color me shocked, because you're not going to believe this. Where all the good ideas come from, which is university campuses, a professor at Loyola University has come out and says that organized pantries are rooted in racism and sexism. Yeah, you heard me. I am both a racist and a sexist for undertaking this activity of heading down to the Container Store and organizing my pantry. I had no idea when I did this, and I'm shocked that she has shown me the ways. It made me realize that I hate myself. That's why I organize my pantry. I hate myself. I hate my blackness and I hate my womanness. And therefore, I decided to organize my pantry. If it sounds stupid, it's because university campuses are becoming stupid. We're producing really stupid people who are being taught by really stupid people that call themselves professors. So here's what she had to say in an article that she wrote. She wrote, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of quote-unquote niceness. Nice people with nice yards and nice houses make for nice neighborhoods. What lies beneath the surface of these anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexist social structures. So I want to be very clear. If you woke up this morning and you, I don't know, made your bed, if you took a shower, if you felt clean, if you maybe folded a pair of jeans that you saw on the floor, you are a sexist, you are a racist, and your anti-messiness and pro-niceness stance is rooted in the bigotry of classism, racism, and sexist social structures. And you should believe that because a professor at Loyola University said it, and she's educated. And people that are educated should not be questioned, says Sam Harris. So there you go. I just wanted to let you guys know that it was very sad for me. I still think my pantry is hotter than yours, and I'm still going to keep it organized, but I now know what category I go into. Don't fall for the free phone deals from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. It's just another trick to lock you into a long-term contract that'll cost you a fortune every month. Instead, get a brand new iPhone 12 from Pure Talk for just $12 a month. With Pure Talk's $30 plan, there is no contract and no interest. You can cancel or leave at any time. Pure Talk uses the same nationwide networks as major carriers, so you'll get the same reliable coverage that you're used to. With a range of affordable plans to choose from, you can find the perfect option for your needs. You can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month. Switch over to Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes while keeping your phone and your phone number. Their U.S.-based customer service team makes the switch really easy. Pure Talk is so sure that you're going to love your service that they're backing it with a 100% money-back guarantee. So go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Owens to save 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code Owens. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Moving on. It's incredible. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. And the San Jose Sharks, that's a hockey team, woke up and chose violence on Twitter for absolutely no reason at all. We're not even in the Lavender People month. They said, you know what, we're just going to tweet this because why not? Here's what they tweeted. Worldwide, gender diversity is seen far differently than that in the Western world, or as you may know it. Most of us are familiar with the male, female, and transgender labels, but in other cultures, the existence of the third gender, or even the fourth and fifth genders, is common. They go on. The mux gender is a respected third gender in Zapotec cultures in Mexico, but has existed for centuries. Guna are those who were born as men, but who identify as women and are attracted to men. The Gui are those who were born as men and are attracted to other men. Here's the source. It's a book called Living in Modern America by Sarah Salam. There you have it, guys. The San Jose Sharks having their Twitter apparently taken over by Dylan Mulvaney. Why can't we have nice things? Why can't we have nice things? Why can't we oh, I know why. Because niceness is classist, racist, and a sexist social structure. I just learned that. How could I forget? This is why we can't have nice things. This is why the San Jose Sharks, the people that are just a hockey team, not a good one, by the way, maybe this is why, giving them some attention because they can't win games. They think, I know what we're going to do. We're going to do what everybody does when they're a loser. We're going to lean into wokeness. And then we're going to be remembered for that. We're going to be remembered for being crazy. And we're going to find a community of Lavender people who love us. And I don't know that the Lavender people love hockey games. I don't know if they like people being beaten over the head with sticks and if they're into that brutality. But maybe they do. Maybe this will attract them to the San Jose Sharks. Maybe this is just a glorious PR marketing strategy. Maybe it's not. If you've not been following this story, they extended this by wanting their players to wear Pride Night jerseys during their warmups. So they were like, let's just be super gay. And we're going to be super gay by being Pride Sharks. And one player, the goalie, James Reimer declined to wear the Pride Night jersey. And this caused a huge stir in this hockey community. Here is what he said about why he did not want to put on this jersey. Take a listen.
I have no hate in my heart for anyone. I've always strived to treat everyone with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I'm personally choosing not to endorse something, a sexual identity or orientation that is counter to my convictions, which are based in the Bible, which I consider the highest authority in my life. I strongly believe, I feel like I couldn't reiterate that enough. I strongly believe that every person has value in life, value and worth. You guys, my teammates, everyone, I strongly believe that every person has value and worth in people in this community. And the LGBTQIA+ community, like all others, should be welcome in all aspects of the game of hockey.
He couldn't have given a more perfect statement. He essentially says, I'm not going to engage in this. I'm not going to put this on me. Why would I put this on me? Why would I celebrate transgenderism, right? Why would I be forced to play hockey? He's been playing for over a decade. Why is this a new requirement, right? But he then does something even more brilliant by acknowledging, because of course, they would have said, this is a threat to my existence if you don't wear what I want you to wear. If it means that you don't think I have a right to exist. Instead, he says, no, you very much do exist. Everybody has a right to be at this game, but I also have a right to my Christianity and I have a right to my beliefs. And I don't understand why this is even happening across the sports community. Why are they forcing players to... Could you imagine, by the way, if there was a gay player anywhere that was forced to wear the cross around his neck and to recite, I don't know, the rosary? Imagine if they did this. If they just said, hey, it's Jesus week and we are forcing all players to recite the rosary and to read verses from the Bible, just condemning people that are gay, telling you that you're going to go to hell for sodomy. There would be outrage. But there's no outrage when this is done in reverse to Christians. There's no outrage when you are making them, via wearing something, say something that they know is not true, right? That's just considered wokeness. That's considered diversity and equity and inclusion when it's anything but. It is the exclusion of Christianity, right? It is excluding people and punishing them for their Christian beliefs. And it's despicable. But I don't know. That's what they're doing. So if you're a San Jose Shark fan, you might want to reconsider gay shark, do-do-do-do-do, gay sharks, do-do-do-do-do. I hope that becomes a chant at their games. No, I don't, because I like that guy. I think he's amazing. And I don't think it's funny to chant gay shark, do-do-do-do-do. I do a little bit. Anyways, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. I have a lot of exclusive content that is coming up on Daily Wire Plus. So you know what to do. Click the link in the description and subscribe right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because we will have a brand new episode. And allegedly, Trump is going to be getting arrested. So we'll see whether or not any of that comes to fruition.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.